Okay, I swear this idea is under like half the episodes we do now. We keep talking about products, agents, search, chat, whatever, and somehow the same little gremlin is sitting underneath all of it.
Yeah, and every time we say it casually, we act like everybody already has the shape of it in their head, which is rude, honestly, for a podcast that likes to pretend it's helpful.
Exploring next, episode 670. And we're finally doing the thing properly. Also, I'm in a weirdly good mood about this one, which probably means you're about to ruin it with precision.
Probably, but I think this is a good one to slow down on, because NLP sounds like a fancy box label, and it's actually the whole mess of making machines deal with human language. Think of it like this. You hand a machine a giant pile of text and ask it to stop treating words like random symbols. You want it to notice that some words travel together, some phrases mean similar things, and some sentences are clearly not the same even if they share a bunch of vocabulary.
So the machine is basically learning the vibe of language before it's learning any one task.
Exactly. It's not just reading definitions. It's learning patterns about how humans use words in context, so later it can classify, translate, summarize, answer, or generate without being explicitly told every rule.
Right. And that's the part that always feels a little magic if you haven't seen the machinery. Because if you picture language as a pile of rules, you think, okay, just encode the rules. But language keeps slipping out of the rule box.
Yeah, and the old school approach really did try that. People built systems with hand-coded grammar rules, part of speech tags, subject-object parsing, all that. It worked in narrow settings. But it got brittle fast because real language is messy and people do not talk like a textbook.
Wait, so why does the newer approach help? Is it just bigger computers, or is the idea actually different?
The idea is different. Modern NLP mostly says, instead of writing the grammar by hand, let the model learn representations from data. You feed it enough examples, and it builds internal structure for which words and sentences tend to mean similar things.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of hand-waving unless we make it concrete.
Fair. The core move is that a word gets turned into a vector, which is just a list of numbers. That vector is called an embedding. Words with similar meanings end up near each other in that numerical space, so the model can use distance and direction instead of only exact string matches.
So if two words are neighbors in that space, the model treats them as kind of related?
Yeah. Not identical, but related in a useful way. The classic party trick is that relationships can show up as vector arithmetic. The old example is that king minus man plus woman lands near queen. It's a toy example, but it makes the point that the model has learned something about meaning, not just spelling.
That is such an exploring next thing to say, and then immediately undercut with toy example.
Because it is a toy example. Useful toy, but still. The important part is that the model is compressing a ton of usage into a geometry it can work with. And before we go any farther, we should gloss two things we've already done whole episodes on. We did a full overview on neural networks in episode 633 and tokenization in episode 601. Very short version, a neural network is a learnable function with lots of adjustable weights, and tokenization is how text gets chopped into the pieces the model actually processes.
Good, because otherwise we'd be pretending the machine sees words the way we do, which is already the first trap.
Exactly. It doesn't see words. It sees tokens, then vectors for those tokens, then patterns over those vectors. That's the stack.
Okay, and the token thing matters because language is not naturally split into neat units for the machine, right? It has to decide what counts as one chunk.
Yeah, and that decision affects everything downstream. If you split badly, you make the model's job harder before it even starts. If you split well, you give it a better shot at seeing recurring patterns in text.
So the beginner version is, NLP takes messy human language, chops it into machine-friendly pieces, turns those pieces into vectors, and learns patterns from a lot of examples. That's the spine?
That's the spine. And the reason it matters is that once you have that machinery, you can use the same underlying approach for a bunch of different jobs.
Like sentiment analysis, right? The thing where a system tries to tell if a review is positive or negative without getting lost in the exact wording.
Yeah, or named entity recognition, which is a very official way of saying find the names of people, places, organizations, and similar stuff in the text. Or machine translation, where the model maps text from one language into another. Or summarization, where it compresses a longer document into a shorter one while trying not to lie too much.
Trying being the operative word there.
Right. And then there's question answering and language generation, which is the category everybody remembers now because chat got so visible. But all of those are just different surfaces on the same language machinery.
Oh, interesting.
The old rule-based systems usually had to be rebuilt for each task. Modern NLP tries to learn a shared representation that can transfer across tasks. That's part of why it got so much more useful once the models got larger and the data got bigger.
I want to stay on that for a second, because this is where people usually hand wave and say, scale happened. Like that's a complete sentence.
Yeah, no. Scale matters because language is full of context, and context is where the hidden meaning lives. If you only look at one word in isolation, you miss that bank could mean a financial institution or the side of a river. The model needs enough surrounding text to disambiguate.
So bigger context windows help because the model could see more of the sentence, or more of the conversation, and stop guessing from one clue.
Exactly. And that's one reason transformer-based models change the game. They're good at looking across a lot of tokens and figuring out which parts of the text matter to each other. We did a whole episode on transformers, episode 638, so I'm not going to camp there. But that was a huge piece of the jump.
Right.
The other piece is that modern NLP stopped relying on explicit linguistic rules as the main engine. That doesn't mean language structures stopped mattering. It means the structure got learned from data instead of handcrafted by a linguist sitting there inventing rules all day.
Which is honestly a better product story, because the system can adapt when the language moves. The rules don't have to be rewritten every time people start phrasing things differently.
Yeah, and that's the part I'll admit is genuinely strong. You get robustness from exposure. Not perfect robustness, but a lot more than the old brittle pipelines.
Can we do a concrete walkthrough of the actual flow? Like, if I'm building a thing and I want it to do NLP, what's the machine literally doing?
Sure. First, the text gets tokenized. Then each token becomes an embedding, which is a learned vector. Then the network processes those vectors in context, so it can use the surrounding tokens to update what each piece means. After that, depending on the task, it either assigns labels, picks an output class, extracts spans, or generates the next tokens in a sequence.
That was clean. Suspiciously clean.
It's clean in the abstract. In practice, every step has trade-offs, but the shape is right. You're not hard-coding meaning. You're giving the model enough examples that it learns the statistical relationships behind meaning.
And that's where the foreign language reader analogy actually helps. Not because you memorize grammar charts, but because after seeing enough examples, you start to feel what sounds right and what doesn't.
Yeah, that's probably the best analogy for it. You don't become fluent by memorizing every rule first. You absorb patterns. Then you get better at handling new sentences you haven't seen before.
I love that you just made language into pattern recognition and then acted surprised that it sounds like pattern recognition.
Well, because the hard part is that language isn't just pattern recognition in the shallow sense. It's pattern recognition under ambiguity, missing context, weird cultural references, and people being sloppy on purpose. You mean pretend we weren't just arguing with our own past selves the whole time?
Exactly. And honestly, that's the brand.